News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Mobile Mornings. It's about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Tuesday, we welcome Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner on to our airwaves today. Quinn, how are you?
I'm fine. How are y'all?
Saints win. Tulane almost won it. I guess the score ended up a little lopsided against Ole Miss, but they played the Ole Miss pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They played them really close. It also means that South's lost to Tulane last week. Looks a little more understandable.
Yeah.
Tulane's a good team.
Yeah, they are a good team.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch for me against Quinn's teams with Tulane beating South and then his Saints beating my Titans. But this is a news show. I don't even like talking about sports.
Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Okay. Who dat?
There it is. Quinn, let's talk about the House back in session in D.C. I think today is the first official day as the Senate arrived last week. And news this morning, Fox is saying House Speaker Kevin McCarthy set to tell House Republicans today that beginning an impeachment inquiry against President Biden is the, quote, next logical step. They'll hold a meeting Thursday morning, the House GOP conference, for key committee chairs to lay out their latest findings and the status of the investigations into the Biden family. Now, this isn't yet a vote for impeachment, and McCarthy did say he would have a vote to begin an impeachment inquiry, but you're saying this might not be the best idea for Republicans?
I'm saying it's an absolutely moronic idea to rush into impeachment this soon, and I'm having flashbacks to 25 years ago at this exact time of the year 25 years ago when I was writing the exact same things for the Mobile Register and was in the same position saying that a Democratic president is very corrupt and that impeachment down the road might be appropriate and that they do need to hold his feet to the fire, but not to rush into impeachment, and certainly don't do it in a way that looks like you're doing it for political revenge or bloodlust rather than very soberly and carefully. And usually if one party looks too eager to take down the other's president without, you know, exploring other options, without taking their time and letting the facts lead them rather than jumping to conclusions, usually the party that leaves that impeachment inquiry gets hurt politically.
Quinn, at that time, go ahead.
It's just stupid to rush into the same mistake again and again and again. And it is, they've got an oversight committee and a judiciary committee that mm-hmm. are already unearthing the facts about Joe Biden. There's no need to label it an impeachment inquiry.
So 25 years ago, it was Bill Clinton was the target of all that. Explain what exactly was happening then and how it compares to what's happening now.
Okay, so 25 years ago on Saturday, 25 years and 3 days ago, was the day that Ken Starr, the independent counsel, gave his report on the Lewinsky scandal to Congress. And both Ken Starr and then Speaker Newt Gingrich screwed up royally, and I wrote as much in the pages of the Mobile Register. I had been a huge Clinton critic. I had been on Capitol Hill doing research against Clinton, part of the investigative team, and I knew how crooked he was, but I also knew that impeachment is a big deal. The public doesn't really like it. And that you certainly need to look like, if you're doing it, it's out of a profound sense of duty and not out of political bloodlust. And what Ken Starr did was, for understandable reasons, a lot of the material in his report was very R-rated, to put it kindly. And Brett Kavanaugh, now a Supreme Court justice, was the youngest member of Ken Starr's team, and he kept telling Starr, and this is on the record, separate the R-rated stuff, basically, and put that in a separate part. If you need it for proof of the alleged crime, you've got to put it somewhere, but separate it so it can be, so it doesn't go all out to the internet where every child can see it, blah, 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 blah. At least that makes it easy for the House to decide whether to redact some portions of it for propriety or whatever. Ken Starr said, no, it's got to all be in the same narrative. He gave it to Congress. Kavanaugh, as he delivered it, said, I would recommend looking at it and possibly redacting parts of it until you get to see what's in it and what the public, you know, should or shouldn't be able to see. Gingrich said, we're not redacting a darn thing. We're not even looking at it. As soon as you give it to us, we're putting it out on the internet. And it absolutely blew back in the Republican faces because it looked like it was the Republicans so eager to get Clinton that they were the ones that put the smut out there. And they lost politically. They lost House seats. Gingrich lost his speakership. And frankly, the American political system has never been the same since.
You know, Quinn, and that may have very well been a mistake 25 years ago. I just, looking at what the committees have already unearthed, and even though the New York Times say there's no hard evidence that Joe Biden was involved, I mean, everything points to maybe this being the worst we've seen out of the vice president's office, now the president's office. I mean, you've got the shell companies. You've got all of these emails and texts from the Hunter Biden laptop. You have former business partners who have flipped and are telling them everything. You have the House Archives or the National Archives covering the emails that say Joe Biden's alias in them. We don't know what's in those. It just seems to me, especially with this race against time where the Democrats very well could have the House in hand in a year and a half, that the Republicans need to do something. And with past impeachments, whether it's Clinton or Trump, it almost seems like they've got Biden dead to rights here.
No, they don't have Biden dead to rights on impeachable offenses. And if look, you go back 3 years, I've written probably 24 columns and editorials blasting the Bidens. I was one of the first out of the gate on the Hunter laptop thing. And so I have no love for the Bidens, but you got to be really careful and you got to consider what the founders meant an impeachable offense was. And you've got to also consider that once you call it an impeachment inquiry and set up a separate mechanism, that what the public sees is you've already judged it. Why do you need to have an impeachment inquiry when the oversight committees already are unearthing all of this material? You just said they've unearthed all sorts of bad material on the Bidens. Well, if they're able to do that, why do they need to call it an impeachment inquiry until they have more answers?
Yeah,
Tell me that.
Well, you know, Republicans, the voters, and even a lot of members of the House are saying you got to do something. And they're looking at the other side, and maybe, you know, eye for an eye isn't the right way to go. But that's where we are in this country now. And I think that the greater public, well, mostly Republican voters, will feel like McCarthy's weak if he doesn't try to do something beyond these committees.
And I'm saying Republican voters are being stupid because that's the sure way to lose the elections. Look, the only time Donald Trump ever even got a plurality of in his approval rating, not even a majority, but he was underwater in approval his entire 4 years. Except during the first impeachment trial and immediately after it. Why? Because the public is sick of this tit and tat, tit for tat. And if you look like you're just so eager to take down the elected president of the United States that you're, you know, rushing into things, the public hates it. And there was a public backlash in favor of Ronald Reagan after Iran-Contra. There was a public backlash in favor of Bill Clinton when Republicans screwed up how they went about impeachment then. There was a backlash in favor of Donald Trump when Democrats went after Trump in the first impeachment. Why do Republicans want to get a backlash against themselves by impeaching a man right now when there's still not enough out there, when they're already making him on the run politically by ordinary oversight. Ordinary oversight has unearthed all these facts. Why do they need an impeachment inquiry to do it?
Yeah, just saying impeachment, it would be a bad taste in the citizens' mouth, I guess, or across the country.
Let me just make this clear.
Good.
You have people on both sides forget just how big a chunk of Americans are in the middle and are sick of political gotcha games. Mm-hmm. And so when the strong forces on the Republican side or the strong forces on the Democratic side want to say, getcha, 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 the people in the middle say, cool down, and they react against the ones that look like they have political bloodlust.
Quinn Hilliard, QuinnHilliard.com, and the Washington Examiner. Some other things we will examine, Quinn, right around the corner after the break, includes, I guess, well, redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
We got it. That's right, home, hitting home right here in Alabama. And we're still just kind of on hold waiting, right, Dalton?
Yeah. There was a ruling yesterday. The three-judge panel basically rejected the state's request to put a stay on the ruling that came from last week. Now, mm-hmm. The state set to appeal. They're trying to get this thing back to the Supreme Court. Quinn, when we get back, want to see what you think, whether this case will make it back to the Supreme Court, and what comes next. Quinn Hilliard, you'll find him at QuinnHilliard.com, also the Washington Examiner, and he'll be right back with us right after the break.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 823 from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHilliard.com. Author, writer, Quinn Hilliard on Tuesday on Mobile Mornings.
So Quinn, one of our big stories this morning is that three-judge panel yesterday telling the state of Alabama that they will not pause their order last week that a special master draw up three new congressional maps. That deadline is set for September 25th. And why the rush? Well, we have the primaries coming up in March and elections in November, and they really need to get these lines squared away. Now, Representative Chris Pringle, state rep, right out of here in Mobile, he went ahead yesterday and submitted his map that he actually submitted in July, the Communities of Interest Plan, which he says would have had a better chance at actually making it through that three-judge panel. Now, the attorney general says that they will appeal this ruling from yesterday. The hope is that this ruling makes it all the way back to the U.S. Supreme Court and that there's been a change of heart there. Where do you see all this going?
Well, look, to be full disclosure, I'm now an interested party because I also officially submitted a map, which keeps Mobile together, but which is compliant with the Supreme Court's ruling. I did not agree with the Supreme Court's ruling, but they did what they did, and I knew that what the legislature did in response was completely thumbing its nose at the court. So, that said, what will happen is Steve Marshall, the Attorney General, will ask the Supreme Court for an emergency stay since the three-judge panel denied it. My prediction is it'll probably go to Kavanaugh again, and this time Kavanaugh will not give them a stay, which means that the process will go forward in terms of choosing new district lines. State can then appeal that on the merits, but the merits will take a much longer time to wind through the courts, and that probably means that whatever new lines the three-judge panel chooses will probably be in effect for the 2024 elections. That's sort of gaming out what happens.
And, you know, there was a report, I think it was Politico or CNN over the weekend, that basically says that Kavanaugh is what the Republicans in Alabama are hoping for, that he'll flip. You don't think that'll happen. I kind of think about, I don't know, like a kung fu movie or something, like Send Your Best Fighter. And while I hate to say it, it's almost like it'd be better off if one of these other states who are facing a similar issue would have sent their best fighter to argue this with the Supreme Court, this Voting Rights Act. Do you feel the same way, or do you think?
Yes, I do. That's very well put. Because look, Kavanaugh issued the stay the first time that allowed the lines to go into effect for 2022, but that was because there were open issues. Once he got to look at the actual full arguments that the state offered, he voted against what the state had done. And now the state is basically going back up to Kavanaugh and saying, we know you voted against us last time or ruled against us, but now we're asking you to go back against your own ruling in order to give us another election where we do it under the lines that you have already rejected. Now, if you think that has a chance in Hades, you're smoking something.
Hey, Quinn, before we, the couple of minutes we've got left, Kim Jong-un took a train several hundred miles to a very corner of Russia where Putin has or will meet him very soon. So these two countries cooperating together, I think right now there's a food shortage going on in North Korea.
What?
And then you've got munitions that they can give to Russia for their war in Ukraine. So how does this...
It shows how pitiful Putin's Russia is that they have to go begging to North Korea for weapons. I mean, usually for the last 70 years, it's North Korea going hat in hand to China and to Russia, asking them for weapons, yes, et cetera, et cetera. And now Putin is in such bad shape that he has to go to this crazy dictator about basically a third world country and ask him for weapons. It must show that Putin's efforts in Ukraine, trying to take over that country, are going very, very badly for Putin. And so that's actually, in some senses, a good sign for the West.
I also wanted to get your take on Biden. And it seems like every single day there's another lie, and maybe people never really cared. I don't know. I mean, he did it again yesterday. A 9/11 remembrance ceremony. He was in Alaska, first president since 9/11 to not be at one of the sites where those terrorists and the planes went down. But he said he was at Ground Zero the day after 9/11. And in his own book and from reporting, he was in D.C. In the Senate chambers.
Well, Joe Biden has always been a liar and is now probably not technically senile, but he is he's lost so many steps. He gets memories jumbled. And so he's either lying or his memory bank is really, really bad. He probably did go to the site of 9/11 like 2 weeks later and is just somehow conflating that with the day after now. That's possible, but that doesn't say anything good about him either. Either way, he's not fit for office.
Yeah, it's just the way he flippantly says what he's going to say and doesn't realize that people can...
Fact check.
Yeah, and we're talking about 9/11 here, too. We're not talking about him talking about being at whatever granddaughter that he actually acknowledges, a dance recital or something like that.
The man is addled and he's an embarrassment.
Hey, Quinn, time to wrap it up here. We appreciate your time, and folks can go to QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner to read more about what you've got. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
All right, coming back, we'll turn up your voice at 251-343-0106. A lot to get into, including Nikki Haley going after Tommy Tuberville. We'll discuss on Mobile Mornings. On FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Got a lot to get into, including your texts here in just a few minutes at the Ascension Technologies text line, 251-343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, the local crew, which is headed up by Trey Bennett. And they've been doing some of the best work around Mobile and Baldwin counties for the last 15 years plus. And you can tell they've been doing great work because if you just Google 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile and you check out the 226 five-star Google reviews, they're all from folks who are around here, people who actually used the 1-800-GOT-JUNK services. For instance, Bethany Left a five-star review, said I had a stellar experience with the Got Junk removal company. Kudos to Andrew and Josh for their professionalism and efficiency. They were an absolute pleasure and very courteous to work with from the time they showed up until the time they finished the job. We had a truckload full of junk, and the price was very reasonable, too. It was well worth it and impressive to see them strategically load the truck. She also said Trey, the owner, was also quite awesome, as he happily answered any questions or concerns I had about the process prior to the removal. There was no hassle or pressure, and she finished saying, got junk, or got stuff, you must use Got Junk, you'll be glad you did. And many of us here at FM Talk who have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK can say the same thing. They make junk disappear, all you have to do is point. So set up that appointment today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number you can call, but you can also set an appointment up online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Quickly on the text line, in response to Quinn, there's a number of responses to Quinn, but this is, Michael says, I'm not a fan of the Democrat machine, but at least they actually use their power to enforce their worldview. Quinn's Republican Party mindset is why people dislike the Republicans. We elect them to do our will, but they don't want to rock the boat and upset the lefties.
Yeah, well, you know, and to be completely honest with you, and I'll get to
when are you not?
Well, I am honest, sometimes to my own detriment, often to my own detriment. But and I'll get to a couple texts here that I think back me up as well. But, you know, I'm all for, or have been for, impeachment. I mean, you saw the impeachment of Donald Trump on much lesser charges that since then have been proven to be just completely falsified by Democrats, the Russia collusion hoax and everything. And you see the evidence that James Comer and Jim Jordan and these House Republicans have been able to turn up about the Biden crime family. I don't know if you want to call them the crime family, but they, the Biden pay-for-play scheme that is so obvious right now. I mean, the shell companies. First off, what's their family business? What people will say,
B-I-D-E-N.
You know, Jared Kushner shouldn't have signed that big real estate deal with Saudi Arabia after Trump left office. You know, maybe, but what you can say is that Trump and Jared Kushner and the Trump family have an actual business.
Yeah.
They have actual properties that it can be and probably is legitimate business. What is the Biden family business? Why would they create 20 shell companies that money was filtered through from Ukraine, from China, from all of these countries that aren't America? And why did that happen at the same time that Biden was getting rid of a Ukrainian prosecutor who was going after the company that his son was on the board of? And, you know, the false narrative that all of Europe, the European Commission, and they all felt that Shokin was some, you know, that he was a dirty prosecutor in Ukraine, that's now been proven false. The European Commission never thought Shokin, according to some of the latest reports, that he was a bad prosecutor there in Ukraine. That was all Biden, and he threatened, his job. He threatened Ukraine funding if they didn't get rid of Shokin.
Yeah.
And he bragged about it after it was done. It's such a smoking gun that you'd think he would be dead to rights, and so you would say, yeah, the Republicans need to go ahead and impeach him because this is much worse than anything they ever actually had on Trump. But on the other hand, and why I'm kind of, you know, maybe changing my mind a little bit is what Gardner and I think Paul is also texting about. Gardner says, wouldn't it be better to run against Biden than any other Democrat? If Biden is successfully impeached, the Republican nominee will have to run against someone that may have a better chance to get elected. It's like when your team is playing another football team that has a bad quarterback on the field.
Keep him out there.
You don't want to injure him.
Yeah, don't hurt him.
You want him to stay on the field.
Yeah.
So all of the talk, and Jerry Carl's been pretty consistent about this for a while now, that Biden may step out before the 2024 election. Would that be the best thing politically for the Republicans? I think impeachment would be the best thing for America, but is it the best thing politically? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the balls that you play, right? You're what is the goal here? The just thing? Justified? Legally, having the rights, impeach the man, or do you measure out what that would do to Republican chances in 2024? And if you measure that out by some by many's measuring, it would hurt Republicans. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, politics, it's always like, I don't want to be political here, but, or whatever, or when a politician or an elected official says something, you've got to look at it. You got to put it through the prism of what is this doing to him politically for him to make this statement here and now. That's the same thing with any of these procedures. What does it do to the Republicans politically in the end? I mean, remember the big red wave we were going to see?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see it.
Never came to fruition.
Never came to fruition. And we were caught. You had all the you had so many people on the conservative side of things who are experts way beyond me, I can tell you that, because I just take my cues from trying to read up on what the experts have got to say. Nobody saw it coming. So when you're trying to measure all this out and you're trying to say that America has had enough, that you're going to see a big red wave, I think there's something to what Quinn says that is true, is that there's so many in the middle and they're discounted because of the fact that their narrative is not strong politically one way or the other, but they're there and they exist and they vote.
That is something I disagree with Quinn about, and I guess by proxy you. I think that the independent vote is overrated. I think the fear of doing something politically because you're worried about losing voters in the middle, you know, maybe that was the case during the Clinton and Bush years or previous to that, but everyone has a team at this point. Even if you claim to be independent, and maybe you do like some Democrats, maybe you do like some Republicans, but if you don't know where you stand,
yeah, but you
as far as who you back for president
no,
at this point?
I would say that's not, no, you don't know. Because look at the Democrats and look at where their party is going. And you probably have you have people who have been a Democrat for 30 years, and their party is shifting so far to the left, their policies and their priorities, and you're like, I don't even recognize this party anymore. So that's a lot of people in the middle. And for Republicans, I think conservatives, there are a ton of conservatives who are highly disappointed with what the Republicans do when they're elected. I mean, even right here in this state, you watch things happen in Montgomery, and we've got Republicans running 7-3 up there for the most part, right? But it's like, does this state legislate in a conservative way? And most people would say, not just no, but heck no.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think people are disillusioned. I don't think everybody is on a team. I think a lot of, and I think now more than ever, I think that being in talk radio, being on a conservative radio station, which there aren't many liberal stations out there because they would get 4 listeners.
Well, they're subsidized.
Yeah, they're subsidized, right. But I think sometimes we're in the echo chamber, and I think that happened when we were expecting that Republican wave. We were all shocked. Well, why should we be shocked? We should know what's about to happen. We're surrounded by experts. And I think sometimes we discount the fact that not everybody is on a team.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be more and more difficult. I think it's honestly, even though I was kind of expecting that red wave too, I think it's a miracle that the Republicans have the House now. And I think it's going to be more and more difficult moving forward to win the House. The Senate, that should be easier for Republicans to hold. But generally, I think you look over the years, Republicans have not had a great success rate in the House. And I think that that's part of this, what McCarthy said to announce this week, is this is a ticking clock for these House committees. Because
yep.
If the Democrats win the House in November, you know, regardless of who ends up winning the presidency, this all goes away.
Yep.
They shut these things down quickly.
Yep.
And I think that's part of why, you know, McCarthy's making a move on this. Also, because of the deal he cut with a lot of the Freedom Caucus Republicans, that, you know, they could knock him out of that speaker role if he doesn't do what a lot of the Republicans want him to do, and they are calling for an impeachment inquiry at the very least.
And they're again, I mean, it's fractured on the Democratic side, but there seems to be somehow they
get in line when they need to.
They do. And on the Republican side, you can see that it's kind of fractured with so what team, you know, what team within the team are you on, if any?
I would personally rather have a fractured Republican Party that doesn't line up behind some middle of the road Nikki Haley that doesn't, you know, decide to just keep spending billions and billions of dollars in other countries instead of taking care of what we have at home. I would, even though they don't line up politically like the Democrats when it comes time, I think it's better to have those competing ideologies mm-hmm. than it is for groupthink to take over and to say, well, you know, if we want to get this through, we have to have, you know, Lindsey Graham in charge or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you who's a lot who's nothing like Lindsey Graham or Nikki Haley, and that's Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Did you know that I was going to bring his name up today?
I did not. No. I thought you were about to say Tuberville, but you went Ramaswamy on.
I did go Ramaswamy on because I'm just thinking about the race for the GOP nomination. Tubbs not involved with that. No, he ruffles some feathers, but Ramaswamy is, I think that's why he's caught the attention of so many people, because he's appealing. He's a populist, and he seems to have he can make his point, and he can back it up. I just think that there's something about him that is not really threatening. You don't feel like he's going to bully you. He's just going to lay out the America that he wants to see. And a lot of that is appealing about Ramaswamy is his vision for the country overall, for America to love itself again. That seems pretty good to me.
I think he's very interesting, and I like a lot of his messaging. But you remember a politician who came out of nowhere, and I'm not going Trump here, so go ahead and scratch him off the list, but came out of nowhere in the last election cycle. He was running for the Democrat nomination, and no one could quit talking about him, and they thought, you know, he might surprise people and win this Democrat nomination. You know who I'm talking about? Andrew Yang.
Oh, remember? Gosh, yeah.
Have you heard his name at all in the last 3 years?
No.
I like a lot of Ramaswamy, but I think the only time we'll hear his name after maybe April of next year, mm-hmm. besides whoever he ends up endorsing, will be when he goes on Fox News for some hit.
Well, here's, again, I do depend on some of the people who are more established. When I talk about Ramaswamy, I'm talking about him and watching him engage with people who have been around for a while mm-hmm. and their reaction to him. So it's not just like I'm all starry-eyed because I don't know crap, right? I know little, I know some, and then I know people who do know Ramaswamy on the different platforms he's been on. He's been impressive, and he's impressed those people, which impresses me.
Well,
makes sense?
It does. And I think it says a lot that the three leading candidates right now on the Republican side are Trump, Ramaswamy, and DeSantis.
Yeah.
And you combine their numbers, and especially using Trump, they're crushing the rest
of them. Henry Aaron and Tommy Aaron had the most home runs.
They're crushing the rest of the Republican candidates, and it's because they're going about things the way that the Republican voters want them to. And mm-hmm. that's what Kevin McCarthy realizes, I think, that Mitch McConnell doesn't. And that's that this swell of Republican populists who aren't even, you know, necessarily pro-corporation all the time. They want that middle class to come back.
Yep.
They want to see the growth in America that we saw back in the Reagan years. And that's why the DeSantis's and the Ramaswamy's and the Trumps are doing so well. And this old line of thinking that so much of the old GOP has, I don't know why they're worried about losing votes in the middle, because they weren't winning votes before 2016 anyway. Things were going the exact opposite direction. Yeah. So if you want to go back to the heyday of 2012 Mitt Romney.
Yeah. That's how Trump was born.
That's a losing ticket. Some really great texts, and we'll try to get to some of those here before the end of the show.
Okay. Text line is 251-343-0106 with Dan and Dalton. 849, Mobile Mornings, followed up by the Jeff Poor Show. We'll give you his lineup for today on the way. Dan and Dalton, 854, Mobile Mornings. Do you have Jeff's lineup? I'm sorry, man.
I have it right in my hand.
Thank you.
Phil Williams with Right Side Radio joins Jeff in hour number one. Tommy Tuberville, heard of him?
Yeah.
He'll be on in hour number two. Maybe we'll get some response to Nikki Haley and some other Republicans going after Tuberville for his hold on the Democrat nominations. Again, the Senate can vote on these individually, and they refuse to do so. Hour number three, Baron Coleman joins Jeff on the Jeff Poor Show.
Mike is from somewhere down in
Point
Paradise.
Clear.
Point Clear. Wow.
Yeah, I'm down in Point Clear. You know, the Alabama contingency of the Republican Party is hamstrung, in my opinion, in the state of Alabama by some of the large three donor class, which was Alabama Power Company, AEA, and Department of Transportation.
The hamstrung or provided for?
Either one. You can pick A or B or C, the above.
Okay.
But, you know, we can't get school choice in Alabama, and that's ridiculous. But then on the national side, Tommy Tuberville is doing what I think we want done, and he's standing his ground. And then, you know, Nikki Haley at this point can pound sand as far as I'm concerned. It's none of her business. This is our senator doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they can vote on him one at a time, but they choose not to do it.
Yeah, good points. Thank you for listening down there in Paradise, man.
Yeah, you got it. Have a blessed day.
Point Clear.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, and I love
Point Clear.
I agree with Jeff that I think Tommy Tuberville may be the most popular politician coming out of Alabama right now, whether in the U.S. Senate, House, or the Alabama legislature, and he's doing what the Republicans who voted him into office wanted him to do.
Is he going to run again?
I don't know. I think he would win going away, but...
Oh, he'd win, but maybe part of all this is because I'm going to... You know, he's making some enemies up in D.C. too, but enemies that maybe you don't mind having, like Nikki Haley. So anyway, it's just interesting. Again, politically, this all intertwined. Is he pulling this stand because he knows... he's not going to be around to fight the fight in the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out with Jeff today.
I can't believe people expect a Nikki Haley to do well in a primary when she says, you know, I agree with the Republicans, except for this whole abortion thing. Or I agree with the Republicans who overwhelmingly voted Tuberville and at one time Trump into office. But this whole Pentagon holding, it's like, you know, what side are you on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the side that just wants to keep spending money in Ukraine. And, exactly where Nikki Haley
is. And then get elected and get along.
Motorman said...
Yeah, text line definitely loves you and hates me.
I don't know about that. Motorman says, I'm heading to Hattiesburg and this strange wet stuff is falling from the sky.
Ah.
Any clue? Sounds scary, Motorman. I don't know what you could
it's
possibly
like in the middle of this
about.
Terrible movie. Like,
Tony and Farrow says, my sister-in-law, who's a Democrat to the bone, apologized to me for voting for Biden. Gardner says,
that's funny.
Let's see. Gardner says, honestly, what American taxpayer wants the government at any level to spend money as freely and recklessly as is happening now? Didn't the English leave England to create a country that wouldn't tax unfairly? Yeah, what was the tax rate that England was levying on us Americans when we revolted, and how much lower was that than what we're staring at right now? Toothless Bammer says, agree with you, Dalton. We're all sick of hearing about the precious middle. No one is 100% on board with failed bit Republicans, but I don't see where anyone on the left voted for what's going on now. An anonymous texter texted in, who may be some of that precious middle, said, I'm tired of holding my nose and voting.
Yeah,
well, I got news for you. You're going to have to hold your nose for a lot longer because politics are so divided these days that you're going to end up in general elections for the presidency voting for someone who either has a majority of the right wing on their side or is left wing enough to get a majority of the left wing voted through the primary. There aren't going to be very many moderates who are in line for the presidency going forward.
8:59. Jeff Poor is next on Mobile Mornings and on FM Talk 106.5. I should say Mobile Mornings back again tomorrow beginning at 6 a.m.